Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
Here's what happened with GameStop. Think of GameStop as a pawn shop for video games with a blast furnace that burns through $100 million in quarterly losses. They're not profitable and their business model is dying. Several hedge funds recognized their starry state and entered positions to profit off their lack of profitability by selling shares of the stock they don't own, or shorting. This is effectively a contract to receive the present-day value of an asset now, with the obligation to buy the same asset in the future to complete the transaction. There was then another group of people believing the company could turn things around, so they bought the stock intending to profit as the company's prospects improved. These are institutional investors intending to influence the corporate governance of GameStop. Here's where the shenanigans begin. A group of people determined that there was an imbalance between the number of shares shorted and the number of shares available. This discusses the classic economic concept of supply and demand. As demand increases and supply remains constant, the price of an asset will increase. This principle is exactly what happened to GameStop. This group of people began buying more and more shares to artificially decrease the supply of GameStop shares. The artificial reduction in supply worked, and the price of GameStop increased from around $40 on Joe Biden's inauguration day to $500-ish a week later. This large and rapid price increase was also very profitable for some people, especially those with cheaply priced derivatives purchased even earlier. It also allegedly led to the short sellers covering their shares at a higher price than they originally sold, thus incurring a loss. We don't actually know what the hedge funds did, or whether, as their name would imply, they were hedged to mitigate losses. During the run-up, the choice to purchase shares as part of the collective was framed as a David and Goliath story, pitting regular people against Wall Street. If I hold, I can punish the hedge funds. And if I hold too long, I can give all my money to a different hedge fund. So who participated in this great American spectacle?
We had the regular players, which is the hedge funds, the investment firm, the billionaires who have a ton of either investments or cash on hand. They're all financial entities. They're elites. They basically have, they make their money buying and trading stocks and options all day long. And they pay people who went to college tons of money to do this. And then they went up against a group of weirdos on Wall Street Bets,
which, for those of you who are blissfully unaware of Reddit's existence, is basically a section or a forum on Reddit.
Who thought that they had figured out a little secret in an over-leveraged GameStop, or I guess an over-shorted GameStop, and they decided to target that because why not? What's interesting, though, is that the individuals in Wall Street Bets were all part of the petit bourgeois, or as we like to call them, the PMC. The project management class, the managerial class in general. They have money, they have stocks, they have retirement, they have cash on hand, they probably have a beach house, they have whatever you want, they have extra money sitting around, and they're able to actually participate in this.
They walked by the wishing well, and they threw some of their disposable income in, and it turns out that the wishing well was actually able to grant wishes.
They thought that they found a small little tweak in the Matrix. They exploited it, and they attempted to rake a little bit of money in, and it did make a few millionaires, right?
Yeah, a small number of people legitimately found a glitch in the Matrix, and they were able to profit off it.
But their motivations for this is that they wanted to turn their little bit of PMC money, their little bit of petite bourgeois money, into full-blown capitalists. And I think a couple of them made it, where everybody else was just sort of there to buy one or two shares on your Robinhood, you know, app, or your Dough, or your Cash App, or whatever the hell they are.
Whatever the kids are using these days.
Webull. Whatever the six accounts you have that give you one free stock every time you link your bank account to it and never put any money into it, that's the app. Oh, you can buy a partial fractional share? I want in. I have 14 cents. I'll buy a fractional share of Moderna.
So are the people buying based on fractional shares part of the project management class, or is that a different subset of people?
That's a different subset of people. Those are individuals who are working class, poor working class, and we'll use those constructs. They're basically working class people you know, that don't have any ability to grab any type of liquidity out of anything that they own because they have no actual money, right? They play with quarters at the casino. They don't play with $100 bets. These people on Wall Street bets, these are the people that go to Vegas on vacation and play with $100 bets, right? While the other of us go to like another casino and play penny slots.
The people making serial accounts on Robinhood and Webull and whatever the other apps are to get their one free $6 stock are not the people driving or participating in the GameStop activities. They're simply trying to extract their $6 from the free stock by linking a bank account. It's a way for them to make $6.
So you know there's a fight between capital and the petite bourgeois or this mini capitalist. It was not a fight with the working class. So this whole idea that, you know, people are losing money on paper here or there, there are already individuals who had money to lose, except for a few who, you know, decided to mortgage their house and just take these big risks. But normally if you have a house, you have money to mortgage out of it. So it wasn't like they lost. It just extended their mortgage a little bit longer. They lost equity, but now they're back to renting again. But the people that were injured were not working class. They were people who already had money, who had more things than you do, who were able to play games and make more money.
So what was the motivation behind the project management class participants throwing their heaps and heaps of expendable and disposable income into GameStop?
There is the idea that there's a populist revolution that's going to happen, that the Wall Street bets are going to rise up and start the revolution and crush the hedge funds and the capitalists. They're gonna show up. But we were talking just the other day about this, and how much volume was GameStop?
It's in the double digit billions in terms of raw cash value traded on any given day.
And then how much is the overall stock market any given day?
It's in the trillions.
It's in the trillions. So we're talking about fractional, you know, percentages here. And we're talking about such small amounts of actual money that was lost or won. I mean, it might look big on paper, but it's only paper-based wins and losses.
There's not some elaborate shock to the system where Congress is going to care. Like, nobody is going to care about this in a month. There's going to be no revolution. Even though there are legitimately people that think that this was going to be the spark that would, like, set off the working class revolution and the hedge funds would all fall into despair and the bankers would be walking around poor in New York, catching COVID and dying.
Which basically means that what about the poor billionaire that have COVID now? Oh, I'm poor.
They should have worn a fucking mask.
Who's that fucking asshole that cried on TV that lost like $3 billion or something? That bitch.
The dumbass like sports guy. It's like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, hope he's not going to go hungry. He can still have a steak with gold on it.
I'm not going to feel too sorry for him, right?
Fuck that guy. Say it that way. So, yeah, we had this populist movement. And what they did with the populism is someone said, I think what's going to happen is this. Let's all buy stock and hold it. For our demographic, the people that are in Wall Street bets, buying $20 stock isn't actually that big of a leverage risk. So you can buy and hold. And it only really works if you've already bought and held. So there is a planned effort to rise the stocks up to screw over those that are shorting it. But that only happens how many times, do you think?
This will never happen again.
Yeah, this will never happen again. There's no populism movement because fighting capital like this isn't how you're going to win it. Right? And then we have this ability for the populist movement to be crushed by basically saying it's going to cost you more and more and more to place the bets or trade the stock. Because the clearinghouse is going to charge you more and more and more because of the risk. And Robinhood basically became insolvent overnight.
As the price of GameStop is increasing, and a lot of people are getting really excited that this is going to keep doubling, you know, day after day after day after day after day, and the fact that I bought shares at $300, and maybe it'll go to $600, and then $1,200, then $2,400 is an illusion that everybody's really excited by and wants to have happen. Robinhood determined that their statistical risk model was effectively insolvent, and they determined that their only course of action to remain in business, regardless of whether it hurt or helped their customers, was to prevent anybody from buying shares of GameStop. And this effectively happens because of how the clearinghouse of share trading works and how you need to have cash on hand to meet risk. They made a business decision. They stopped allowing shares to be traded, and this effectively ended the excitement, because the entire thing was derived from having normal retail investors continue to buy into the hype because they had the fear of missing out. And once people couldn't buy anymore, it ended.
At the end of the day, how much money is Robinhood going to make on a bunch of retail investors? Not that much. Not during this little weekend extravaganza. They need to be moving huge volumes. And hedge funds had that ability. They can move huge volumes. And guess what else they can do? They can pay the risk model, right? So it's a waiting game. We've talked about that before. Once the waiting game is over, you lose. Their capital will wait you out, and they win. It's a small amount of loss to basically rake over the coals. Any asshole that decided to unload their 401k and buy GameStop in order to drive it above 400. If you bought GameStop at 400, you lost.
Yeah, it's over. Like, it won't go back there. Capital waited you out. Yes, there were some people along the journey that made a bunch of money here. The vast majority of people didn't.
What about AMC? Did you buy any AMC?
No, I didn't buy anything. Did you buy any silver? No.
No, I'm buying silver either. But also, there was like four stocks that just became too volatile. And again, capital is going to do a risk management. It's just like when Google decided to remove negative ratings. A bunch of people created accounts. You've never actually rated before on Google accounts. You begin to fill out negative reviews on Robinhood. So guess what Google says?
Nope.
You're not an actual person we can trust because you haven't been giving reviews before. We're going to remove your review. You're being reactionary. These aren't real reviews. Because it doesn't make any sense. You've done one review, and they're protecting themselves.
Yeah, so Google's protecting capital. The other thing to consider here is that Robinhood doesn't actually make any money based on whether you buy or sell or anything. Their entire business model is just selling information to hedge funds. They're like a data broker, and they happen to partake in mining data about stock transactions.
And because of that, guess what? They now know the accounts and individuals who are engaging in Wall Street bets. So guess what information the hedge funds are going to get when you keep moving volumes around using Wall Street bets? They are going to already know what the next cycle is going to be, because those accounts that are linked to it are going to be buying in certain stocks at certain price values, waiting to do the next move, and they're already going to be prepared for it.
Yeah, so a lot of this entire event is predicated on some people having certain information and other people not having certain information, and weaponizing access to various pieces of information. So early on, everybody that bought early got ahead of the big spike. They had some piece of information that compelled them to do something, which was buying. And then as this carried on, Robinhood had certain information, the various hedge funds had certain information, and none of this information is generally public. And everybody's making their best choice as to what's going to maximize their profit. Robinhood determined that cutting off trading was in the best interest of them maximizing profits. The hedge funds determined that perhaps covering their losses now and then reshorting at a higher price would be beneficial to covering their losses or maximizing their profits. We also don't know the extent to which hedge funds actually profited on this. The narrative seems to be that hedge funds lost, but we don't actually know whether that happened or not. We don't know what other instruments they were engaged in to hedge, whether they had different stakes or positions that would result in a giant windfall if GameStop stock went up, you know, $600. We don't know. So everybody on this had different motivations, and they conflicted. And at the end of the day, capital is going to be able to wait longer to profit, whereas the retail investors will be generally hosed, and especially hosed in the coming days as the stock collapses.
Yeah, and you know, you're right about the wins and losses. You know, we don't know which hedge funds won big or lost big. What you're up against with capital is A, they're well funded, and B, they have people, quants, whose entire day is looking at numbers. That's their entire day.
The unique thing about the GameSpot situation is that a single individual stock was directly and heavily targeted.
I mean, they want you to believe it's populist because they want to keep doing this manipulation. But really, individuals on Wall Street bets are trying to get as many people to do what they need you to do, which is buy stock so that their stock value goes up.
And I mean, capital responded to this to unwind it. I don't think anybody's going to take any massive loss. You see a bunch of reports that are like, oh, hedge funds lost $7 billion or $15 billion or whatever the number is. And the losses exceed what the actual like capitalized market value is of GameStop. And yes, it's possible to lose more than you had at risk, but these numbers are not big enough to matter. Capital stepped in and prevented it from further escalating.
Yep.
Nobody involved in this went bankrupt. It's a bump in the road in a year where the stock market increased 25%. I would bet that some of these hedge funds were still profitable for the year. It's an isolated event that is really only interesting in the context of the media framing where you had the project management class attempting to fight against Wall Street. I mean, to some extent, this was like the insurrection, but with stocks. It's the same demographic of people. They're deciding they want to participate in collective action. And at the end of the day, they're probably going to lose, either by getting arrested by the feds, as is the case in the insurrection, or losing some substantial piece of their investments.
Yeah, these are the same. Yeah, the same ANCAPs, the same idea that the market, that neoliberalism works, the market is free and open. If we just let Robin Hood, if they just wouldn't have shut us down, we could have kept winning. I mean, it's the same crybaby nonsense, right? Oh, this is stacked against us. Okay, it's true, it is stacked against you, but there's no giant conspiracy to shut down Robin Hood because capital is afraid of you.
So the project management class is largely the driving economic force behind this sudden rise in the media coverage, and it's caused by two phenomena to a large degree. You have populism and you have neoliberalism. And populism is what is driving them to act in an effort to screw over Wall Street. They want to take collective action. They want to oppose the evil that is Wall Street and capitalism because they think it can benefit them. If they make a bunch of money, they can be part of the ruling class because they'll have more money and they don't have to go to their shitty job that they don't like, even though they're in the project management class and they don't really do anything. They still don't want to work. Nobody likes to work because you're exploited. To some degree, they understand that they're being exploited. And if they were to just make some money in GameStop, they could stop the exploitation, become a full-fledged member of the ruling class. And this is a purely populist notion of, I'm going to fight back against the establishment, and if we do this collectively, we can fight back together. And what we'll see is that the ruling class very clearly drew the line as to who they wanted to support or oppose. And the ruling class, which is Wall Street, decided that we don't really give a shit what happens to these people that are participating in this event. We're going to kneecap them at the first chance. However that looks, you saw the rapid price increase, you saw Robinhood protect their own interests. They're very clearly saying, we want to protect our interests and we don't give a shit who this hurts. That's the main premise of capitalism. Your main motivation is profit. You don't care about negative consequences. You don't care about people. And I think for the most part, the petit bourgeois was caught off guard by this. They didn't know how to respond. They figured that they could just continue throwing their limited resources at this, but collectively, and they would win. They would collectively act and they would collectively win. And that didn't happen. And for the most part, that doesn't happen because of neoliberalism. So much power is invested in these private entities that the private entities can just change the rules. There's nothing illegal about it. The government won't step in because the government doesn't care. And you have a group of people that get absolutely squashed by corporations, and then they don't understand why the corporations did it. And it's just kind of ironic that a bunch of people that exist because of capital exploiting them were exploited by capital, and they don't understand that capital exploited them.
It's not some government conspiracy where Joe Biden is sitting in the Oval Office trying to figure out how to screw over the project management class. He knows deep down in his heart that the private sector is going to do that on their own.
There's reports about, like, oh, Biden called the CEO. It's like, no, he didn't.
Biden doesn't even know what Robinhood is. What's a phone app?
Yeah, he doesn't even know what year it is. You know, but somebody in his administration probably had money in these hedge funds because it's neoliberalism where capital wins, and probably called on behalf of the government to Robinhood because that makes more sense. Someone in the Treasury that has a bunch of money was probably like, you know, fuck, okay, can you stop this, Robinhood?
Janet Yellen received a bunch of money from Citadel, which is one of the key hedge fund players in this. And
there's a conspiracy.
Yeah, the conspiracy theory is to jump to, oh, they were all in on it and then cahoots. And it's like, well, to some extent they are, because capital's all on the same team here. But to another degree, like, nobody in government cares about this. Janet Yellen does not give a shit about GameStop. She's in it to just make money, doing speeches, whatever. She's now the Treasury Secretary. Fine. But there's not this grand conspiracy of like, oh, well, you know, they were about to break and then Robin Hood just had to shut them down. It's like, well, I mean, that is what happened. People had this expectation that the rules would continue to be followed. And if the rules were to follow, then Robin Hood would do X and GameStop stock would go to infinity and these hedge funds would go bankrupt. But at no point did anybody account for the fact that, oh, well, we're in power now because of neoliberalism. Why don't we just change the rules to make it more convenient for us? Like, yep. Why would we lose money when we could make money?
Yep.
And there's no negative repercussions to any of this. Robinhood deciding to stop permitting people to buy GameStop is not some civil rights, human rights violation. They don't have any obligation to allow any user of their platform to buy a stock. Stock ownership is not a protected right. It doesn't say in the Constitution that ye shall be able to purchase GameStop. Like, it's not a thing. It'd be like going to the grocery store and having a complete meltdown because they were out of orange juice. Like, nobody selling things or offering services is compelled to allow you to buy something. So you see all these lawsuits that are filed that are class action, that are suing in federal court, whatever. Like, literally nothing will come of those. It's all just posturing, and I'm some rich project management guy, and I'm a lawyer, and I know another lawyer, and he's going to file a claim, and Robinhood's going to take a tax write-off for legal fees in a year. Because nothing will happen.
Nothing's going to happen, everybody here. Nothing. Do not buy GameStop. The people that made all the money, they were funded by the suckers that kept buying for them on Wall Street Bets. That's what it came down to. They convinced a group of people to put their money towards raising the stock price that they had already bought to make a ton of money.
It was an elaborate game of musical chairs where the music started playing and a bunch of people went and quickly sat down on a bunch of chairs. The music got louder and a bunch more people were like, oh, there's music. And then they went to sit down and the music got louder and then chairs started disappearing and people are looking around and they're like, hey, there's these couple guys here that were here earlier, but where the hell did they go? Well, yeah, they already made their money and they left. And now everybody else is wandering around standing because the chairs are gone.
The chairs are all gone.
Where's my goddamn money? And
where's my money at?
There's no more music anymore. And it's kind of dark out and it feels kind of stabby.
At the end of the day, this is a one-off thing. This is going to happen once. All right, they're going to try it again and again and again. They're going to say there's some institutional attack on them. This is a one-time shot. And the reason why it worked is it's fundamentally a 50% attack in which they controlled the majority of the stock movement at any one time. Wall Street Bets, that is. And what happens is it caught the hedge funds off guard. And because of that, they're able to control the position. This is the same thing that happens with Bitcoin.
This is a general flaw of cryptocurrency in general. I don't know that it's actually happened with Bitcoin, but it conceptually could.
Same thing happens with the Tor network. As long as you control 50%, you control the entire network. So this is just basically a bunch of people who got together and they control 50%. It's the same phenomenon that got Trump into power, right? 50% attack. As long, if you control the majority for just a small amount of time, you win that little bit of attack. There isn't an institution that will save you because at any one point, everybody's fighting amongst each other. At any one point, 51% of the population will sell out the other 49% for profit. And that's capitalism. And that's what drove all this, is that people within Wall Street Bets were willing to sell stocks to their own members to take advantage of their own members in order to regain the money that they had lost or won. And so at this point in time, if everybody were to own the means of production, half the working class doesn't actually have the incentive to fuck over the other half because everybody's in this together. There isn't a reason to fight and screw over your partner because everybody has the same stake. But as soon as one person has more than the other, then it's going to be a fight for resources.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.